So the Gemara has been discussing the 10 conditions, the 10 stipulations that Ezra made with his Beis Din together with the Jewish people when he gave out the land of Israel.
Joshua.
10 stipulations Joshua made, where Yehoshua made all sorts of conditions. If a person's walking, in the street and needs to relieve himself, he can go behind a wall and take care of business and take off a pebble from the wall to clean himself. If a person would like to collect twigs, he may collect twigs in his friend's field. If a person wants weeds, he can take weeds from his friend's field. All of these different laws that Yehoshua promulgated. So the Gemara says, well, how could you say that there are only 10? We know from other sources that there are more than 10. For example, that a person can put his fertilizer out in the street at a time when people are putting fertilizer in the street. There's the law of Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that if a person's bees ran away from him, he can go into the next field and cut off the branch where the bees are hiding to bring them back to his field. He just has to pay for the branch. It's a law of the days of Yehoshua, that if two people are walking in a street, one with a barrel of wine, one with a barrel of honey, and the honey starts leaking, the one with the barrel of wine is to pour out the wine. He can be reimbursed from the honey that he saves, the same as if there are two donkeys, one leading with one laden with flax, the other laden with wood. The owner of the donkey with the wood is to take off the wood if the other donkey died and put his friend's flax on his donkey, and he gets paid from the flax. Why shall Manas Cain inchil Yehoshua li Yisrael asaretz? Because it was on this condition that Yehoshua gave the land of Israel to the Jews. So why do you say there are only 10? There should be 12, 13. So my answer is b'yichidai lo kamairi. These conditions were not mentioned in our braisa because these were only the tradition that these were conditions were only the views of individuals. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel. Our braisa was talking about those laws that were not just taught by individuals, but that were generally widely accepted. Stama de Gemara, the assumption, already accepted them. Asks the Gemara now, starting today's daf. Faha ki asa Rebavin, but we know that when Rebavin came from Israel to Bavel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he brought a lesson in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, namely, that Echad Ilan Anot Letoch Sdei Chaveiro, the Echad Ilan Asamach Lemeitzar. In Maseches Baba Basra, we're going to learn that a tree draws nourishment from 16 amos around it. The branch, the roots spread out and they draw nourishment from quite a distance. And therefore, if a person plants his tree literally on the border of his friend's field, he can't use the fruit from that tree for the mitzvah of Bikurim, bringing the first fruit of the field to Yerushalayim and dedicating it, giving it to the Kohen, because he can't say that he's thanking Hashem, Ala Aretz HaTovah Shenasata Li, for the good land that you've given to me, because this fruit doesn't just come from his land. It comes from his land plus his friend's land. But yet, when Rebavin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Ilan Anot L'Tokh Sdeh Chaveiro, whether it's a tree that's leaning into his friend's field, or an Ilan Asamuch L'Meitzar, a tree which is right next to the boundary, so it's not 16 amos away from his friend's field, maybe Bikore, he can bring those fruits, and when he brings them as Bikurim, he can make the entire declaration of Parshas Bikurim, and we don't say that it's not his land, that the fruit is not from his land. Shalman asked him, but on this condition, Hinchil Yoshua al Yisrael Esaretz. Yoshua gave the Jewish people the land of Israel, and he made a condition that they shouldn't be makbid, that they should forgive such things. And that's why this tree and its fruit are considered exclusively his, and that his friend doesn't have a portion in it. So one second. We said that there are only 10 conditions. And here we see an 11th. Elamantana asaratznayin shisna Yoshua. You have to say like this. Not that the 10 conditions are the things that everybody agrees to, but rather, who is the Tana? In other words, who taught us this idea that there are 10 conditions that Yoshua made? It's not a Braisa, not what we said earlier. It's rather Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi who... It's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi who said it. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said there are 10 conditions. And apparently Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He thinks there are 11 conditions. And apparently Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi doesn't agree to the lesson of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel that we saw earlier, that there were those other two conditions. So according to him, there are only 10 conditions that Yoshua made. Rav Gvia, Mibek Til, Rav Gvia from the house of Til, Masna Behedya, he said it explicitly. Rabbi Tanch, that it was all Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Tanchum and Rabbi Bryce, Amim Shemzekun Echad, Rabbi Tanchum and Rabbi Bryce said in the name of a certain sage, who is that sage of Yeshua ben Levi? That Asarat Naim, Isna Yoshua. Yoshua made 10 conditions with the Jews when he gave out the land. That's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was saying that it was 10. Other people thought it was more. Rabbi Yochanan had an 11th. We saw that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda had different opinions, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi didn't agree that la halacha of those traditions.
Rabbi, he wrote them or it was oral?
Everything was oral.
Oral.
Everything was oral.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, it's oral. Not from prophecy. It was an arrangement, a halachic arrangement. It can't be from prophecy because Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar, a prophet is not allowed to add to the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. All the prophets, when they were the heads of the Sanhedrin, were using their intellect. They were not using their prophetic abilities, whether it was David or Eliyahu. They were all using their intellectual abilities. All right, so now we get to Ezra. So till now we were talking about Yoshua. Now we get to talk about Ezra. Asara takanos tikein Ezra. Ezra HaSofer made 10 institutions, 10 enactments, 10 laws. Okay, number one, Shekoirin B'mincha B'Shabbos.
10 laws.
The first law was that on every Shabbos Mincha we should read from the Torah. Before Ezra, apparently they didn't read at Shabbos Mincha. During the days of David HaMelech, King Chizkiyahu, they didn't read during Shabbos Mincha.
They didn't read
Torah. Starting with Ezra, they started to read Torah and Shabbos at Mincha.
But in the morning they read.
That was from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had already instituted that Shabbos in the morning you should read. But Ezra was the one who instituted that you also read Shabbos at Mincha. That was number one. Secondly, the Koran B'Sheni V'Chamishi. Ezra was the one who instituted that we should read Torah on Monday and on Thursday.
Gemara is going to ask that.
Gemara is going to say, we know that they read during the week. Moshe, already from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were reading during the week. So Gemara will answer, as we'll see, that Moshe instituted to only have one Oleh, but Ezra instituted to have 3 Oleh.
What about the fast days, Rabbi? Is also Ezra or no? The fast days?
No, probably not. That probably goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu already.
Fast days was Moshe Rabbeinu.
Probably, yeah.
It was fast.
6 months.
Now, again, so law number one that Ezra made was to read Torah at Shabbos Mincha. Law number two, to read on Monday and Thursday. Law number three, V'danin B'Sheni V'Chamishi. Ezra instituted that Bezdin should judge on Mondays and on Thursdays. That Bezdin should meet every Monday and Thursday to bring their, the people can bring their issues to Beis Din. Law number four, Mechabsin b'chamishi b'shabbos. Ezra instituted that you should wash your clothes on Thursday. Wash your clothes on Thursday. So really, if you want to do laundry on Friday, it's not so right. Ezra instituted that the laundry should be done on Thursday.
Not Sunday.
Well, you can do the laundry on, the laundry should be done on Thursday so that it should be nice and clean for Shabbos. Shabbos clothes should be cleaned on Thursday. That's what Ezra instituted.
But Rabbi, in Israel, starting Wednesday, they tell each other Shabbat Shalom.
That's not right.
So Wednesday is not good?
Maybe it's not as strong as Thursday. All right, this we saw earlier also. Ochlin Shum Be'erev Shabbos. Ezra instituted to eat garlic on Friday. Ushite Isha Mashkemes V'ofa. He also instituted that a woman should wake up early in the morning and bake bread. Yeah, first thing in the morning.
Let's write this one big and send a text to all the women.
They should wake up early in the morning to bake bread.
What do you think?
That's good.
They should wake up early to make bread. Every day. Every day. Gemara will explain that this is for Achnasas Arkham. For Tzedakah. There are poor people coming around, so he made the women, he instituted the women should wake up early to bake bread, to give out to the poor fresh bread.
Make sure you write gluten free.
Then he instituted Bishatei Isha Chogeres Besinar, that a woman should wear some type of an apron. While she's doing work, she should wear this apron, some say it's pants, while she's doing work, so that'll be more tzanua, be more modest. And shetei isha chofefes v'tzoveles. He instituted that a woman, before she goes to the mikvah, has to do a chafifa. A chafifa is a serious a combing of the hair, to comb the hair through to make sure that there are no knots and there are no foreign elements on the hair, because those elements would be a chatzitza, would be a separation between the water and the parts of the woman's body when she goes to the mikvah. Another law, shehu rochlin machzirin ba'ayaros, that the peddlers who like to sell cosmetics, perfumes, are to be allowed to go from city to city, and they should go from city to city, so that women will be able to have lots of beautifying things to make Jewish women look even more beautiful than they already look. As we learned in Maseches Brachos, Ezra instituted that if someone, a man, has an emission of seed, so at that point he becomes a Tamei, he's a Baal Keri. The Torah says that if he has an emission of seed, he's Tamei. So Ezra instituted that he can't daven nor learn Torah unless he goes to the mikvah. And as we learned in Maseches Brachos, that was annulled. That decree was annulled because it's too difficult for men to not daven or learn Torah if they first have to go to the mikvah after that happens before they can daven or learn Torah.
This is not the Inyan of Beit HaMikdash, so why are we not still becoming this Inyan?
It was annulled. It was annulled. The Gemara says in Brachos, it was stopped. Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua stopped it. Tosus explains, apparently it never originally spread so far, or it was Xerush Denatzibur Yecholam Lamudba, it's a decree that people couldn't survive, couldn't fulfill. So it was stopped. It was stopped. But the...
For the Chazanah or the Baal Korach, it's not enough.
What's that?
For the Baal Korach or the Chazan, it's not enough.
So that's a machlokas haposkim. That's an argument amongst the poskim. The Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Omrim, some say that this is it was only stopped for learning Torah, but for prayer they should go to the mikvah before They pray, or and some say certainly those who are leading the prayers. That's why Hasidim run to the mikvah all the time, because of this Gemara. The Gemara says that you shouldn't learn Torah or daven if you haven't become pure from Tumas Keri. So Hasidim are running to the mikvah every morning, because you don't want to say this is the day this guy had Keri. So every morning they're going to the mikvah before they daven or learn or anything.
But Rabbi, if there is no access to mikveh in an area,
right,
could they take a shower?
Yes, yeah.
But, you know, stay Shabbat, don't take a shower.
What's that? Shabbat. Can't do it on Shabbos. Can't take a shower on Shabbos. Take a shower before Shabbos.
Before, and that's good enough. That's it, right?
Yeah. The Gemara also said there that Tisha Kav, in the 9 Kav of Mayim Shuvim, of drawn waters, can work to... for this tefillah, for this purification.
These are all Kabbalistic thing behind all these rules and regulations.
No, these are laws of Ezra. It's not Kabbalistic. These are the laws of Ezra.
I mean, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai agrees. He talks about these things in Kabbalah.
Yeah, Chassidim agree, sure. All right, so the first law. Sheyukorin b'mincha b'Shabbos. Ezra instituted that there should be Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos Mincha. Why? Answer the Gemara, Mishum Yoshvei Kranos. Because of the people that sit in their stores. So the people who sit in their stores the whole week, they don't learn Torah on Monday and Thursday. So let them have a little bit more learning on Shabbos. Let there be a Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos at Minchas. They learn a little bit on Shabbos. Shikorim B'Sheni V'Chamishi. Ezra instituted to read the Torah on Monday and on Thursday. Ezra Tikin. Ezra instituted V'Mikarav Mitikna. That's already back in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. An institution to read on Monday and Thursday. The Tanya went into Braisa. The pasuk says, "Vayelchu shloshos yamim b'midbar, v'lo matzu mayim." They went 3 days in the desert and they didn't find water. Darshi rishumos amru. Those who interpret psukim explained, "Ein mayim el Torah." They went 3 days without Torah. That's what it means. They didn't find water. They didn't find Torah. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, "Hoy kol tzami lechula mayim." Anyone who's thirsty, go to the water, namely the Torah. Okay, when shalchu shlosh yam below Torah, when they had gone 3 days without Torah, nilu, they got exhausted. The prophets amongst them stood up, namely Moshe Rabbeinu stood up, and they instituted Shukorin b'Shabbos. They should read Torah on Shabbos. And they won't read on Monday, on Sunday, fine, but Korin b'Sheni. They won't go 3 days, they'll read again on Monday. They won't read on Tuesday and Wednesday. They read again on Thursday. They miss out on Friday. And then they read again on Shabbos. Kadesh shelo yalinu shloisha yamin below Torah. They shouldn't sleep over 3 days without learning Torah. So again, the Gemara says, Ezra made 10 laws. The first law was to read the Torah at Mincha on Shabbos. Why was that? That was for the store owners that aren't learning Torah all week. So they should learn some more Torah at Mincha. Then it says he instituted a law, you should read Torah on Monday and on Thursday. What do you mean Ezra instituted the law? Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the law. That's the whole story, that they went 3 days without water. So he made sure you never have 3 days without Torah. You have Sunday without Torah, but then Monday you have Torah. Tuesday, Wednesday without Torah, then Thursday you have Torah. So the Gemara answers, Meikara tiknu chad gavra tlasa psuki. The initial law was that one person would be ola. One person would be called up, and he would read 3 psukim. Or there would be 3 people called up, and each one would read a pasuk. To commemorate the fact that the Torah is for the entire Jewish people, for Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Asahu, when Ezra came, Tikin, he added, he instituted Tlasa Gavri, it was 3 people who read. Asara Psuki, and they covered 10 psukim. Kineged Asara Batlanim, as a commemoration of the fact that every community is supposed to have 10 people on the community payroll, who, as Rashi explains, these are people who are ksherim, they're righteous people, who are not in a store, they're not in a craft, and they're busy for the community. They're there for the community, they're there to do all the community things, and they can come for a minyan, they are always there for a kaddish. Every community should have a kolel of Asara Batlanim, of 10 people that are there to help the community. So to commemorate those 10 people, that's why Ezra instituted that you should read at least 10 psukim on Monday and Thursday.
V'danim b'sheni v'chamishi. Why did he institute that Beis Din should judge on Monday and Thursday? D'shchichi da'asu l'mikra b'sifra. Because you normally have a lot of litigants around because they came to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. V'shu mechapsim v'chamishi b'shabbos. And that they should wash the clothing, you should wash in the rivers on Thursday, Mishum Kavod Shabbos, in order to give honor to Shabbos. Yishu Ochlem Shum Be'erev Shabbos, and they should be eating garlic on Friday nights. Mishum Ona, because of the mitzvah of spending time with a spouse. And a Talmud Chacham is supposed to spend time with his spouse on Friday nights, and garlic increases the amount of seed. The pasuk says, "Asher Piryo Yitain Beito," who will give his fruit at its time. Vamar Yehuda Yitain Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda said something. Rav Nachman said Yitain. Some say it's Rav Kahana, the name of Rav Yochanan. Who's the person who gives his fruit at its time? Zamashamish Mitaso Erev Shabbos Lerev Shabbos. That's a Talmud Chacham who's intimate from Friday night, and then he does it again the next Friday night. They say in the Braisa, Chamisha Dvarim Nemru B'Shum. There are five things said about garlic. Masbia, it's a filler. It fills a person up. Number two, Mashchin, it warms the body. Number three, Matzil Panim, it makes the face glowing. Number four, Mar B'Hazera, it increases the seed. And number five, Vahorei Kinim Shebibnei Me'ayim, it kills the lice that are in the intestines. Yeshomim, and some add, Machnis Ava, because it makes a person happy, it increases the love. Umotzi Esakina, and it removes the jealousy. Okay, another law that Ezra made. Shetei Isha Mashkemes V'ofa. Women should wake up early and bake bread. Why? Kedei Shetei Pas Matsuya L'Aniim, so that the poor people coming around will have nice, fresh bread given to them. Veshetei Isha Chogeres B'Sinar, that a woman should be wearing an apron or pair of pants, Mishum Tzniusa, in order to have more modesty. Veshetei Isha Chofefes V'Toveles, that a woman should comb out her hair and then go to the mikvah. Toraisi, that's a biblical law. That's not from Ezra. The Tanu Hudin Abraisa. The pasuk says, V'rachatzas B'sara B'mayim, he is to bathe his flesh in the waters. That means, Shlo Yeida V'chotzit B'sara L'mayim, there should be nothing separating between the water of the mikvah and his flesh. And then it didn't say V'rachatz B'sara, it said Es B'sara, Es is to include Es HaTafel B'sara, even that which is secondary to the flesh also should go into the water. U'mayinu, what are things that are secondary to the flesh? Say are its hair. Ami, they answered, Oraisa, the biblical mandate would be, you need to look at the hairs. Dilma Miktar, maybe they're tied. Inami Mos, Midi. Maybe they're dirty with something. Mishum Chatzitza, you have to look at it to make sure it wouldn't be a Chatzitza. However, Ezra's Takana, Asa Ezra, now turning to Pei Beis and Mid Beis, Ezra came, Tikein Chafifa. He instituted that there is an obligation to comb through the hair to make sure that there is no chatzitza. Ishiyeh rochlin machazin bayaros. And as he instituted that the people selling cosmetics should be going through the towns to sell perfumes. Ishim tachshitei nashim, to make sure that the Jewish women are beautiful. Deshalo yizganu al baalim, that their husbands shouldn't not find them attractive. The Tikin Tvilu Bali Karyon, and Ezra instituted that if a male has an emission of seed, so he's Tameh, he has to go to the mikvah. He instituted that the man has to go to the mikvah. To Oraisu, that's a biblical obligation. The Chassid of Pazak says, Vishki Tetsim Imenu Shikva Zara, a man who will have an emission of seed, Virachat is Basar Bamayim, he has to wash his flesh in the waters. So the Chassid of Oraisu, the Truma of a Kachin. Mido Oraisa, the man would have to go to the mikvah if he wanted to handle Truma, if he wanted to touch a carbon. But for other things, he doesn't have to be tahar. Asahu, Ezra came, Tikin, he instituted a filu divrei Torah. Even when it comes to learning Torah, if a man is tameh, if a man is impure because he had an emission of seed, he should not learn Torah unless he first goes to the mikvah. And as we learned, that was stopped. Right? If you look at the Tosfos here, Asa ihu v'tikin a filu divrei Torah, Tosfos says, Lo kaimalan hachi, we do not paskin this way. Ella, rather, we paskin Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Masechta Brachos, the Amru said, Divrei Torah, ein mekablin tuma. Words of Torah don't become tamei. Kedam reish sagez. That's what Gemara says in Chulin. Uve mishemeso and in Masechta Brachos. Idna nahuk alma kitlasa save. Nowadays the world acts like those three sages. Im taimar. Ask Tosfos. Hey chiyalam Rabbi Yehuda levata takanas Ezra. How could Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? How could an Amora annul a law that was made by Ezra so fair? Yesh lomar, the answer is the Dilma suffered loti ken Ezra davar zeh. Maybe he disagrees. Maybe he doesn't believe that Ezra made such a law. Inami hisna, maybe when Ezra made the law, he made a condition. Shekol mi sherotz levata yevata. Whomever would want to annul it can do so. The b'chiyai gavna mutter. Then later sages can annul it. Kedam b'reish moed kata. Inami alternatively, lo pashat yisuro berov Yisrael. When the law was made, it had never spread amongst the majority of the Jewish people. And since it didn't spread amongst the majority of the Jewish people, it never really took effect. Okay, going on to the next institution. Next point. Asara dvarim ne'maru b'Yerushalayim. There are 10 laws about Yerushalayim. Number one, in Habayis Chalutba, we know that the Torah tells us in Parshas Bechukosai that if a person sells a field, he can redeem his field. He can buy the field back from the guy he sold it to. And come Yovel, the field would be returned to him. However, if he sold a house in a walled city, he only has 1 year to redeem it. And if he didn't do that in that year, he's not going to ever get it back. That's called Bayis Nechlat Bebate Arichoma, a house in the walled city gets handed away. That's not true about a house in Yerushalayim. A house in Yerushalayim, he can always redeem. And that's number one. Number two, Enem Avi Egla Arufa. We know if you find a dead body, we learned in Masechta Sota, if you find a dead body near, you know, out on the streets, you don't know where it came from. So the people, the leaders of the closest city have to come and bring a calf and make a declaration. Yadim L'shaf Chos Adam Azeh. Our hands haven't spilled this blood. And then the calf gets, its head gets chopped off with a knife. That would not be done if a body was found near Yerushalayim. We're going to learn in Masechta Sanhedrin, there's such a thing as a city where the majority worship idols, and the city has to be wiped out, and all the property has to be burned. That's called an Irani Dachas, a pushed away city. That can never happen to Yerushalayim. Einamitam ben Agayim. If there's tzaras on the walls and the house in Yerushalayim, the house is not tamei. The people who own homes in Yerushalayim are not allowed to build porches and ledges. As we'll see, because you have to be careful with Tumah in Yerushalayim, and if you have a porch or a ledge, so if there's a dead person there, so you'll have Tumas Ohel. You don't make any garbage dumps in Yerushalayim, because garbage dumps attract the Shratzim. The Shratzim can be Tumah. Dead Sheretz is Tumah. They know something about kivshonos. You're not allowed to make kilns to make pottery in Yerushalayim. They know something about ginos upardaisos. You can't even make any gardens or orchards in Yerushalayim because, as the Gemara will explain, the fertilizer has a bad smell. Chutz miginos vradin, except for the rose garden. Shahaisa miyamos neviyam arishonim. It had been there already from the days of the earlier prophets.
So you cannot plant a fruit tree in Yerushalayim?
That's what it sounds like.
Is the rose garden still there now?
The Knesset has a rose garden.
What do you mean inside
there?
The walls of the old city?
The walls of the old city, yes. Ein megadlin ba tarnagolin, and you can't raise chickens in Yerushalayim, as we saw earlier, because chickens love the garbage. They're going to find a garbage dump. They're going to find some piece of a dead sheretz, and they're going to bring it out and ruin the truma and the kutchen. Hey, malinin ba'as hameis. We do not allow a dead body to sleep over that night in Yerushalayim. If somebody dies in Yerushalayim, he gets buried right away. And that's the laws of Yerushalayim. So now the sources. Number one, Ein Habayis Chalutba, person who sells a house in Yerushalayim, it is not ever given over to the buyer, but even after the first year, a person can buy it back. Because it says, Yishkiyim Karbeis Moshe V'Yerchoma, V'Kam Habayis, and that house will get up, which is in the city, Asher Lo Choma, that had a wall around it, Latz Misus, forever. Lakona Oso, to the one who bought it, Lidor Osav, Lo Yetzei Bayavel, Kasava, this Tana holds on Eschalka Yerushalayim Lashvatim. Yerushalayim was never divided amongst different tribes. So really there is no private property in Yerushalayim because it belongs to the entire nation, and therefore in Yerushalayim you don't have the ability of someone transferring ownership from his house to somebody else, that the Torah would say there was a kone osa, there was someone who bought it. There's no one really who bought it. Ein mevi egla rufa. Yerushalayim doesn't have to bring an egla rufa to Ksiv because the pasuk says about egla rufa, ki matze chalal ba'adama, when there will be a dead body found on the earth, asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecha lerishta, that God is giving to you to inherit. Yerushalayim was never inherited. It wasn't given up to the different tribes. It wasn't divided. It wasn't the territory of Binyamin. Ein anas is here in Idachas. Yerushalayim can't become a city that has to be destroyed. Because the pasuk says, when you will hear about Achas Arecha, one of your cities, Yerushalayim lo nischak l'shvatim. Yerushalayim is not your city. It was never divided up amongst the tribes.
Isn't the temple part of the Binyamin territory?
That's according to the opinion that Yerushalayim was divided to the tribes. It's a machlokas. A house in Yerushalayim does not become tamei tumas negayim, because it says about tumas negayim. Nasati nega tzaras beveis eretz achlus haschem. I will place the plague of tzaras in a house in the land of your inheritance. Again, Yerushalayim lo nischakal ashvatim. Yerushalayim, according to this Tana, was not divided up amongst the different tribes. Ein motzin bazizin gzusteros. Law number 5: you can't build ledges and porches in Yerushalayim. Mipnei oel atuma, because the ledge and the porch might become a tent over tuma. That maybe there'll be, it's a kazayis of flesh from a dead corpse, and if there is a tent, and when people there's an oel. When people walk by, they'll become tummy. Umishum delo litzaki ole regalim. And also, we don't want any ledges and porches, because people who come to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel, they don't know their ways around. And suddenly there's a new ledge coming out of a building somewhere, they might get hurt by it. Ein osin ba'ashvasos, we can't make garbage dumps in Yerushalayim. Mishum shkatzim, because the garbage dumps attract the shratzim, they attract the rodents. The rodents might die, and then you'll have more tumah floating around Yerushalayim. Ein osin ba'kivshonos, you can't make kilns in Yerushalayim to make pottery, mishum kutcha, because that would make too much smoke in Yerushalayim. Ein osin ba'ginosu pardesim, mishum sircha. You can't make gardens or orchards in Yerushalayim, because that'll bring in a lot of fertilizer, which will give Yerushalayim a bad smell. Vein megalim b'tarnigolim, we can't raise in Yerushalayim chickens, mishum kachim, again, because you have karbanos. You have meat of karbanos around Yerushalayim, and we're worried that the chicken's going to find a piece of a sheretz, and it will touch the kachim with a dead sheretz. Vein malin b'asameis, and you can't allow a dead body to sleep over in Yerushalayim. That's because a Gemara, that's a tradition. We don't have a reason for it.
Rabbi, I'm not sure. Sorry. How big was the Yerushalayim Ben Achamor at that time? How many
Amor?
Do we know?
I don't know. It's from what we have. We have only part of it. But yeah. The wall, I guess, would be from Shaar Yafo, roughly, all the way down, encompassing Ir David. Ir David was part of the old Yerushalayim. The Mishnah said you can't raise pigs. Jews are not allowed to raise pigs anywhere, whether they live in Israel, Babel, anywhere. Why did the sages say that a Jew can't raise pigs? Because of the following story. When the Chashmonai family divided, and there was a civil war amongst the Chashmonaim between Hurknes Mibifnim, Horkness, who was in the Beis HaMikdash, and Aristablus, who was outside, Mibachutz, Uvachol Yom, and even though they had a civil war every day, the loyalists of Horkness would lower in a box dinarim, coins of silver from the Chumas HaLishka, In return, the Aristobulus people used to put a lamb in the box, and the box would be brought up into the Beis HaMikdash. So even though the Beis HaMikdash was under siege, the carbon tumid was being offered every day. There was a sage there who knew the wisdom of the Greeks. So he told Aristobulus, as long as you're allowing the Hyrcanus loyalists to offer karbanos, you're never going to defeat them. So the next day, they lowered dinarim bekupa, they lowered the coins in the box. And the Aristobulus forces, instead of putting a sheep in the box, put a pig in the box. When the box got to halfway up the wall, he put its talons into the wall. The land of Israel shook 400 parsa by 400 parsa because of such a desecration. That's when they said, cursed is the man who raises pigs. Cursed is the man who teaches his children the Greek wisdom. For that moment, Shanina, we learned, there was a time that they had to bring the Omer from Ginos Hatzrifim, from Bikat Ein Socher, because all the areas around Yerushalayim had been destroyed by the forces of Aristobulus. They had to bring the karbanos from quite afar. Yeah, but it was a sage with Greek knowledge who had the chutzpah to give such advice. You see the terrible impact of Greek knowledge. Look at the terrible impact of Greek knowledge.